The following is intended solely for the use of those with a sense of adventure.
I'm shaking the dust of this town off my feet, and I'm going to see the world.
This is Travel with Hawkeye. Here's your host, Mark Hawkeye Lewis.
I know you're laughing at me because I always say I'm so excited about the podcast, but I'm very excited about this podcast because this actor, Jennifer Beals, it was for my generation. I mean, she really set the bar very, very high with the movie Flashdance. And since then, she's had an incredible career. She was on The L Word for many years. She's right now on an NBC show called Taken. And she'll be joining us talking about her travels and her career. We'll talk to her shortly. Also on the podcast, I mean, Jennifer Beals, how can you not be excited about that? Also on the podcast, this has been an incredible year for the skiing industry because we've been teased for quite a few months about a seismic change in the skiing industry. And a few weeks ago, we learned about the Icon Pass. What is the Icon Pass, and how will it change your vacation plans? Well, we're going to be talking to Kristen Rust from Alterra Mountain Company about the Icon Pass, and it's definitely something that you want to consider if you're going on a vacation, a ski vacation in 2018. I mean, there's still time actually to ski this year, but if you want to think about the future next year, you could save yourself a lot of money. But we're going to start off with Joe Brown. He's the editor-in-chief of Popular Science Magazine. And Popular Science Magazine is doing something I've never seen a magazine do before. They're actually coordinating with a travel company to travel the world, to go on a couple different tours to different spots. And first of all, Joe, let me put a little perspective on your magazine. You've been around for over 100 years, not you personally, but the magazine.
Yeah, I'm not quite 100 yet, but Popular Science has been around for almost 150 years, actually. We were founded in 1872. 146 years.
And now you're online, and you can find you in all sorts of different sources. But this is something brand new that you guys have never done before.
Yeah it's really cool. Popular Science Expeditions is our basically in-person version of the magazine as it relates to some of the most exciting travel destinations around the world. So the idea was, what would a Popular Science editor go and see if they went to Egypt or South Africa or Dubai? And we partnered with a company called Smart Tours. They've been around for 20 years. They're awesome. They've served over 150,000 travelers. These guys are just so well organized. What we did was we took some really popular destinations and added a science and tech twist to it. So you can go to Dubai and Abu Dhabi with us and go and see this place called Masdar City, which is a new environmentally sustainable future in the desert. You can go to wildlife reserves. You can go to the top of Burj Khalifa. And when you go, you're going to be going with somebody from Popular Science. We're sending our editors. We're sending our writers on these trips to interact with and hang out with the people who go on the tours.
Now, Joe, are you going to get to go on any of these trips?
No, unfortunately. I put myself, because I'm at the top of the masthead, I put myself at the bottom of the list for people who got to go. And by the time it got to me, there weren't any left.
I see. Well, let's talk. So there's four trips that are planned for this year. And they're all basically, if you're just hearing about this now, you've got time because this was just announced. So you got time to jump in on these trips because I believe the first ones don't even start until August.
Right. And they're not quite sold out yet, although they're booking up really fast. We're doing Dubai and Abu Dhabi. We're doing South Africa. That's a two-week trip. I wish I could go on that one so much. We're doing Egypt and we're doing China. And it's going to be a mixture of technology and science. So, for example, if you go to China, you're going to be going into places like the Forbidden City's Hall of Clocks to watch how Chinese scholars actually advance humanity's understanding of time and space. If you go to Egypt, we're partnering you with an amazing Egyptologist to see aspects of how they're currently studying the pyramids and studying the old temples. And that's mixing in with the traditional things you do in Egypt, but for somebody who's got a little bit more curiosity than average. Now, you don't need a science background to go on this thing because it's exactly like Popular Science, the magazine. We expect that your level of interest is going to carry you all the way through. And what we'd like to do is make it digestible, easy, and understanding. So if you're in, for example, South Africa, and if you're in a nature preserve with our editors or writers, you're going to basically watch the editor interview in real time the experts who are on staff there. It's going to be like being part of a Popular Science article.
It really does sound exciting. And here's the amazing thing to me. It's really affordable, too.
Yep. That's why we chose Smart Tours. We could work with a bunch of different people. And when selecting a partner, it was really important to us that we found somebody who basically represented our values, and that is science and tech for everyone. It's not for everyone if you can't afford to go on these things. We want to be able to bring these trips of a lifetime to anybody. And Smart Tours has this amazing, expansive, and huge operation, which allows them to get the price down, like, really, really well.
Yeah, let me just give an example. Okay, the trip to China. This includes airfare, by the way, folks. For 10 days, it's $1,899. That's where it starts. And, you know, it depends on where you start from. But let me just say, that's less than $190 a day. You can't get a hotel in Dallas for $190 a day. And that includes your airfare.
And you're going to be there with a PopSci editor. I think I got the list right here. I'm not supposed to tell you this stuff.
If you want to spill the beans here, go for it.
All right. So we've got three editors going on three China trips. We've got our assistant editor, Claire Maldarelli, who is one of the most amazing editors we've got on staff, Rob Berger, our assistant tech editor, and Billy Cadden, who's our commerce editor. These are three people I would love to go on a trip with. But if you go to China, you get to hang out with them.
Now, one of the places you're going to is Dubai in Abu Dhabi, and it seems like there's a focus there on cities of the future and technology. Would I be correct in assuming that?
That's true. You know, one thing that's really interesting about the Emirates, and the Emirates and Popular Science have a little bit of a partnership. We do some content for their World Government Summit every year. And the thing about the Emirates is this is a country that understands that what they have is not going to last. They know that their oil reserves are not going to carry them into the future because this country is only about 50 years old. So with that perspective, they're thinking so far ahead in ways to get alternative fuels into the mainstream use, in ways to be a greener city. And so the entire country is basically laser focused on the future. Because we have this relationship with the Emirates, we were able to get amazing access to things that, honestly, you wouldn't be able to see without PopSci going with you.
Can you tell us, like, one of the things that you'll be able to see?
You know, Masdar City is a really great example, and I mentioned that earlier. This is a city they're building in the desert outside of Abu Dhabi, which is designed to be a future city, like 100% renewable, completely cutting-edge tech. And you're going to get to go in there with us and talk to the experts along with PopSci editors who are going to ask really interesting questions and get you some perspective on that you can take home with you. It's better than any souvenir is a little bit of knowledge.
Would you say that their perspective on the world to look so far in the future is sadly, rather rare in our world?
You know, I'm optimistic, and I like to think that we're more and more, all of us are thinking about the future. You know, anybody who has kids or grandkids or close friends and younger generations is thinking about how we can make sure we leave the world better for them. Whatever your views on climate change are, everybody loves this planet.
It's a great perspective. You know what? It's amazing sometimes how, well, I always say, you know, I mean, this is an old saying, but, you know, necessity is the mother of invention. And so, I mean, as we get more desperate for solutions, as we get closer to time where we're running out of, you know, the clock is ticking on us, it's amazing how things can change. Like, for instance, you know, if gas all of a sudden was $6 a gallon, there'd be so many of us moving to electric cars like the next day.
Yep, that's true. I mean, we saw that back in 2005 when all of a sudden people just stopped buying SUVs because gas got so expensive.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be interesting. All right. Now, you said that the one trip that really appealed to you that you're not going to get to go was South Africa. Tell us about that trip. Is that more of a safari, or is that more we're going to the cities of South Africa?
Yes. We're going everywhere. This is like a two-week trip, 14 days. I mean, you're going to be in Cape Town. You'll be in the National Biodiversity Institute of South Africa. You'll be looking into the game reserves and national parks. And there's a really interesting aspect where you're going to talk to a rhino specialist and talking about all of the things about the rhinoceros's life that you might not have thought about. It's a really important part of the ecosystem, the rhino. We're not just trying to save white rhinos and northern white rhinos because they are amazing megafauna, amazing animals. We're trying to save them because they're an integral part of this really delicately balanced ecosystem. And so you're going to talk to a specialist about what it is that the rhino actually brings to the continent. It's going to be fascinating. And then, I mean, honestly, South Africa, Cape Town is one of the great cities of the world. I wish I could go there.
The other two trips, China, you know, what you mentioned, and also Egypt. And the temples that you just get to see, I'm looking at the itinerary right now for 10 days in Egypt. Just all the places you get to go, the Temple of Isis. Isis, the Egyptian queen, by the way. Let me just make that point known. But it's just an amazing experience. And to go with, as you said, some of the editors from Popular Science magazine, I just think this is just a really neat idea.
You know, Egypt is special. I'm lucky enough to have been to Egypt, and Egypt is special no matter who you go with. It's remarkable the amount of technology and innovation these people had so many thousands of years ago. It really is inspiring for anybody who loves engineering and cities. But to go with a representative from Popular Science and talk to doctors and Egyptologists and get to interview them with the kind of knowledge that we bring to it, go to the Nubian Museum in Aswan with us and actually go behind the scenes. It's going to be a really like once in a lifetime trip.
As you said before, this is the first time you've ever done this, and it's booking up rather quickly, as you said. Are there plans already kind of, are the wheels in motion to do this again, possibly next year?
Oh my goodness, I would love to. I mean, obviously, we're not going to know anything about this until we start doing it. But I'm pretty optimistic, and I feel like we're going to be doing more of it next year.
Well, Joe, it sounds like a great idea. Once again, let me give the website here, because actually it's a specific website, popsciexpeditions.com. We'll link that to our website. If you don't remember that, travelwithhawkeye.net. We'll have it on our blog, and you can find it there also. And continued success with the magazine. Hope you guys are around for another 100 years.
Thank you.
And I wouldn't be surprised to see more publications who have a specialized audience do something like this. I think you guys are kind of breaking some new ground here, and others are probably looking at you and saying, hey, if it worked for them, it can work for us.
That's right. I'm hopeful to lead the way.
Well, we wish you a tremendous amount of success with this project. Joe Brown, editor-in-chief of Popular Science magazine. Our next guest on Travel with Hawkeye, you know her from Flashdance to The L Word to currently on Taken on NBC. Please welcome to our podcast the iconic actress Jennifer Beals.
Good morning, thank you.
You laugh, but for me, you really are kind of a symbol of my generation, and it's a real pleasure to talk to you today.
Oh well, the pleasure is mine. I just laugh because when I think icon, I always think of like a little statue or something.
Okay. If I may ask a question about your college days, can I go back to those days?
I'll try to remember.
Okay. Because you were at Yale when you did Flashdance. So you took like a semester off to film Flashdance. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Did you have any idea how big that film was going to be?
No, I didn't really think about it.
Okay. So when you came back to school and finished, what was life like for a college student at Yale who all of a sudden had like one of the biggest movies of the year in the country?
It really was pretty low-key. I mean, first of all, Jodie Foster was already there at school, and so that wasn't any kind of, to be an actor, a working actor there was no novelty. And also, you have to remember, like, there are people at school at that time doing all kinds of things that were really remarkable, like taking off time to write a novel or taking off time to go work on a particular experiment or things. So people were always doing something. It's not like, certainly the recognition aspect was bigger, but it was actually really low key.
You know, it's kind of amazing how that movie has lived on for so many years. That picture of you on the front of the movie poster, to this day, I mean, you see that and immediately evokes so many memories and so many emotions.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it evokes the memory of it being probably like 2 or 3 in the morning and being really pretty tired and just sitting down and pulling my skirt up so I didn't stretch. I think I had a leather skirt on, or there was something that I didn't want to ruin the costume. And so I pulled it up a little bit so that it wouldn't get stretched out. And then the stills photographer took that picture. When I look at it, I have my own personal memory. And it's interesting how your personal memory can be one thing, and then everybody else looks at it, and it becomes emblematic of their experience of the film.
Definitely, definitely. I also think about whenever I see that photo, that whenever there's a party with an 80s theme, everybody dresses with the cut-up sweatshirt off the shoulder.
costume. It's a great, easy costume.
Yes, it is a very easy costume. Well, we do. You know what? We're a travel show, so we're going to ask you some travel questions here. And I want to ask, what is the one trip that Jennifer Bills has taken that is the trip of a lifetime that you know, it's just you still think about it to this day? Do you have a trip like that, a vacation that you've taken?
India. Yeah, I love that. I would love to go back.
What all did you do when you were in India?
What did I do when I went to India?
Yeah, I mean, what was did you go to the temple? I got to ask you this. My parents went to India, and they went to the Temple of the Rats, and they said that was one of the highlights of their trip. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Wow, no, I've never been there.
You've never been to the Temple of the Rats?
Where is that?
I want you, when you get off the phone with me, I want you to Google the Temple of the Rats, okay? Because it's a temple in India where the rats are considered sacred, so they just run around like at your feet.
Wow, okay. So is that like the rat as the consort, or not the consort, but the vehicle of like Ganesha? Or what is the connection, I'm wondering?
I think they're reincarnated spirits is, I think, what the rats are. And I may be totally wrong on that either. I'm taking kind of an educated guess from what my parents told me.
So, but you weren't there.
No, my parents went.
Oh, I'm looking it up.
Oh, you're looking it up as we speak now.
Yes, a Hindu temple dedicated to Karni Mata. It's also the Temple of Rats. Wow, that's so interesting. No, I've never been there.
And you see how many rats? I mean, there are. It's not just one or two rats. I mean, they're everywhere.
Oh, no. Like a lot of rats.
Yes.
I don't know. I say I'm not that scared of rats, but I kind of remember living in New York and a gigantic rat crossing the street and not being really happy about it. Not that I jumped, but I thought, well, I don't know if I would want to be an entire temple of rats, but I don't know. I guess these are blessed rats. It says that there are 20,000 rats.
Yes.
More than 20,000 rats.
Okay, now you have said just a moment ago that you would like to go back to India. Do you think that this would be on your list now to go to this temple?
Well, I'm kind of curious. It's not the first thing on my list. I'm not going to lie. But it's something. My gosh, I'd never heard of it. It's so funny. It's in Rajasthan, so it's in the north. See, I didn't get to the north. That was it. And I wanted to go to the north. And I want to go to Ladakh. That's really, really, really where I want to go.
What is special about Ladakh?
I don't. It's really far north, and it's very mountainous, and the temples look really beautiful. And it feels, I don't know how to explain it, but it feels like home. I don't know how to explain it, but I want to go there.
Wow.
You know how there's certain is that you'll see the picture and you'll go, oh, that feels so nice, just even to look at the picture. Now, I'm not going to say I get that feeling when I look at the picture of the temple with the rats. I don't feel that way. I feel like home. But when I look at the mountain, and I've always loved being in a mountainous area. I spent a lot of time when I was a kid in Colorado, and I love the mountains. So I'd love to go to Ladakh.
You know, I know exactly that emotion that you feel sometimes. When I see photos of Austria, I think of home. I'm not Austrian. I have no connection to that area, but I think, and I've been there twice, and I've absolutely loved it. And it's so peaceful, the mountains, the Alps. And so I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
Yeah. So I want to get to Ladakh. I don't know when that's going to happen, but I guess maybe if I develop a project that shoots in Ladakh, maybe that would be a good idea.
Or maybe a documentary on the Temple of the Rat, and then maybe you can take a side trip to Ladakh.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I so enjoyed
As soon as we get off the phone, I'm going to look at this video on YouTube about the rat temple, the Karni Mata. I've never even heard of Karni Mata.
Well, I'm going to let you go because I know our time is short. I know you have some commitments, but I really enjoyed our conversation. It's a thrill to talk to you.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Let me remind everybody that you can catch Jennifer in her show Taken on NBC on Friday nights. All right. There has been a seismic change in the skiing industry in the last few months, something called the Icon Pass. It has been teased for quite some time. It was introduced a few weeks ago. And joining us right now is Kristen Russ from the Altira Mountain Company. First of all, Kristen, thank you for joining us on the podcast. Tell everybody what the Icon Pass is.
Yes, we just introduced a new season pass that's has access at 26 mountain destinations in North America. It's got access to anywhere from California to Canada to back east and all along the Rockies.
Okay, now, for particular interest, is a lot of people from the Texas area go up to Colorado a lot because it's very convenient. It's easy to get there. So let's start with Colorado. There's a number of resorts in Colorado.
Absolutely. So on the Icon Pass in Colorado, you can access Aspen Snowmass, Steamboat, Winter Park, Copper Mountain, and Eldora.
Okay. And some of these, when you say access, there's different levels of access. So some of these resorts, it's full access, is all season long, and some are a number of visits to the resort. Is that correct?
That's correct. We actually have two passes, the Icon Pass and the Icon Base Pass. And depending on which one you purchase, it's going to vary in access. Oh. So Aspen Snowmass will be 7 days on that, whereas Copper Mountain is unlimited.
Yeah. I mean, so basically it's like you're getting an unlimited, it's like you're getting a season pass to Copper and to Winter Park, I think, too, is also on the unlimited pass.
Yeah. Again, it varies per product, but yes, Copper, Eldora, and Winter Park are all unlimited on both passes. Steamboat and Aspen Snowmass will have varying access of days. But it's still your limited access is perfect for a 1 week vacation, a spring break, you know, a long holiday. It just depends on your needs and where you live.
Yeah, that's exactly my point here, because yes, you do have some weeks with limited access, and you have resorts just unlimited access. So it's really, to me, it's just an incredible bargain, and you pay for it really. If you have like a 1 week vacation, you pay for your pass.
Yeah, I mean, it just depends on how many days you ski or ride. That's going to pay itself, but typically it pays itself in about 6 days. Some advice for anybody, whether you are whatever plan you're making, you always want to buy your lift tickets in advance, whether it's through a pass like the Icon Pass or direct to resort. You definitely want to buy it in advance. That's the way to go.
Okay. Now, also, this is not just Colorado. Also, there's access to resorts in Utah.
Absolutely. In Utah, we've got Alta Snowbird and Deer Valley Resort.
Okay. And let me point out, Alta and Snowbird are two different places, but you can get from one to the next via the gate. So I always like to ski both when I'm skiing there. And then also, we've got unlimited access to Squaw Valley and Alpine Meadows at Lake Tahoe.
Correct. And then Mammoth Mountain, just shortly south of there in California, as well as Big Bear Mountain Resort, which is just a couple hours outside of Los Angeles.
And then also, there's a couple of East Coast ones, including one that I've always wanted to visit in Quebec.
Oh, right, Tremblant. It is just the most beautiful, charming area with an incredible mountain. Tremblant is a really special place.
My point here is you need to go online and check out the pass, the Icon Pass. It's Icon, and see all that you get. And if you're planning, it really helps if you're planning in advance for next year's ski vacations, because if you're going to go a couple of different places, you can pay for it in 6 days.
That's right. And there's some really big bucket list destinations on there, like Jackson Hole, Big Sky, Montana, Ski Big Three in Canada. So it really gets you to go to your favorites that you typically may go to in Colorado, say, but it's also going to get you a little itch to say, ooh, maybe I'll go to Wyoming this year.
Yeah, let me throw this out there. Steamboat is also a part of the unlimited access also. So that's another huge resort that people in Texas love.
Absolutely, yep. Steamboat's fantastic in Colorado.
All right. Well, I think this is a great deal. When I saw this and I saw the pricing on it, I thought, You know what? If you plan ahead, if you plan ahead, which a lot of people do, you can save a lot of money. Now, is there dates? When is this available for the introductory price? I mean, is that available all to the beginning of the next ski season? Does that end in July? How's that work?
So right now, all the passes are available on iconpass.com. And as you said, it is Icon with a K. We do have a children's pass promotion right now that is good through April 9th. So that's the first deadline your listeners really want to know. April 9th. A children's pass is going to be $149 or $199, depending on which pass you purchase, Icon Pass or Icon Base Pass. So that's the first deadline, April 9th. And then we haven't announced it yet, but we will be coming up shortly with a price jump date. So right now, head to iconpass.com.
All right. Well, really appreciate your time. And I'm still hoping to get a few more turns in before spring skiing is over.
And that's something to keep in mind, too. Several of these California destinations are allowing spring access for this season should you purchase your Icon Pass now.
Oh, really?
You can head to Squaw Mammoth and spring ski. So that's another great benefit.
You know what? I'm glad you mentioned that, because actually I was looking at Mammoth because they're open so late, actually. I was actually thinking about going to Mammoth.
Please do. And it is snowing like mad as we speak. They're getting about 3 or 4 feet. So this is the spring to head to California.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time, and we'll see you out on the trails.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Want to thank all our guests who joined us on the podcast today. Joe Brown, editor-in-chief of Popular Science Magazine. If you want more information about their expeditions, their adventures, go to our website, travelwithhawkeye.net. Click on our blog. I'll have a post up there about that. Also, special thanks to Jennifer Beals. I mean, come on, Jennifer Beals. That's going to be a highlight of my broadcasting career that she joined me on our podcast. And Kristen Russ from the Altura Mountain Company, who talked about the Icon Pass. And we'll have information on that also on our blog. I'm Mark Hawkeye Lewis. You've been listening to the Travel with Hawkeye podcast. Remember, the world is out there. Your adventure awaits.